And praise the Lord, that is tremendous. Psalm 112, our text is verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. I want to talk to you about the man that feareth the Lord. Psalm 112 really needs Psalm 111 with it. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Boy, that's good, isn't it? God doesn't forget what he promised. God doesn't forget what he told us he'd do. He has always says he'll ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. If you go to Psalm 112, understand that it is possible because of Psalm 111. And, of course, Psalm 111 literally declares God's power. And this man in Psalm 112 and verse 1, it says he's a man that feareth the Lord. He's a man that has respect. He's a man that recognizes how great God is. And he's a man that understands Psalm 111. He's a man that realizes that God is great and that God is powerful and God does all these wonderful things. And so again, if you want to be this man, and we're going to talk about the man that feareth the Lord, boy, just go back to Psalm 111. Just go back in the Scriptures, see how great God is and how wonderful God is. The man that feareth the Lord. You say, what about the stars and the mountain and the oceans and all that? Well, the greatest, according to Scripture, is that man that feareth the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about some bodybuilder, macho kind of a guy. We seem to think those are the only kind of real men there are in the world today. You know, the guy that can dunk the basketball, the guy that can hit the baseball the farthest, and those kind of men. We tend to think those are the greatest guys. Sad to say that we even look at some of these rock stars as being, oh boy, they're great men. Or maybe some Hollywood personality or something as a great man. No, God is looking. By the way, all of those men are man-made men. We're looking for God-made men. You know what Berean Baptist Church needs today is God-made men. Not man-made men, but God-made men. This man in Psalm 112 is a God-made man. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained, that we should walk in them. And the God-made man is a man that God says, I'm going to create this man to do something for me, and I'm going to create him to have my power and my blessing upon his life, and he'll do great things. Far greater than standing in front of a mirror and putting oil all over your body and flexing those muscles. I say mirrors. You got to see every muscle, And the God-made man is what we need at Berean Baptist Church. That's what we want these young men to become, is God-made men. That's what we want our fathers to be, is God-made men. And this guy in Psalm 112, he is called the man that feareth the Lord. And I'm talking about a guy who really is a man. I'm talking about a guy who, let me tell you this. The God-made man is more macho than the other guy. Do you know that it is more macho to go soul winning than it is to flex? I'm telling you, it is. It's more macho to tell somebody about Jesus Christ than it is to hit a ball over a fence. It takes a man to talk about Jesus. It takes a man to pray at work. It takes a God-made man to stand for the things of Christ. And the psalmist describes such a man. He's called the man that feareth the Lord. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several things in the Scripture that describe this man. And the first thing it says about him is he respects the Lord. He respects the Lord. It says in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." He respects the Lord. That idea of fearing the Lord, it's not, "Oh God, I'm scared of you." It is a respect. It is an awe of who God is. Now, this guy is not the kind of guy that would call God the old man upstairs. This is somebody who respects the Lord. And they have a godly respect. It's a fear that leads to a right choice. You know why a man gets saved is because he realizes he's lost and he's going to go to hell if he doesn't get saved. It is a respect, knowing God is the one that created and God is the one who makes the rules. Amen. And God has given us those rules, and God is the one that said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But God is also the one who sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins so we can be saved. And it is the man that feareth the Lord that recognizes, "Hey, I am nothing. And I'm lost without Christ. And I must be saved." That's a man. That's the man that feareth the Lord. He respects the Lord. It's a fear, not a fear, it's a fear of that is going to cause him to make the right choice. This person would be a person who trusted Christ as their Savior. It's a person who, the Bible says, respects the Lord. He has a fear of the Lord. By the way, it's like a respect of the power of the law. You know, it's the power of the law. And, you know, it's so interesting. We were watching, my wife and I were sitting on the porch last night. We were watching some neighbor kids, and this one little boy kept daring cars to run over him. You ever see people like that? We were getting ready to go out and do something about it. And, you know, because he's running out there, and then he was chasing the car and everything. And he started to run out there. A car was coming, and I couldn't see very well, but the car was coming. He started to run out there, and then he ran back real quick and hid in the bushes. I thought, I wonder what brought that up. It was a police car coming. Yeah. Oh, isn't that amazing? Just all he had to do is see that car. You know, it didn't matter. The other cars were bigger than the police car. Are you listening? Other cars looked like the drivers were meaner than the guy driving that police car. But all he had to do is see that police car. Boy, he took off running. Yeah. Yeah, it's a respect. It's a respect. You know, I've seen a real macho, big old macho guy in front of a skinny little judge. Right? Yeah. And I've seen him be all big and bad, too. You know, "Hey, what are you going to do to me?" And all that judge. And little skinny judge, balding judges, you know. Guys that are just little skinny, got their little skinny old glasses, you know. And maybe not a loud voice, just kind of a little voice, and say, "Guilty. 25 years, you know. And here, "Hey, you can't do that to me. Take him out." It doesn't matter who the judge, it doesn't matter. That's the judge and what they say. That's it. Gone. Goodbye. You know? I mean, they don't even have to bang that gavel hard. What did I call it one time? A mallet. Yeah. They don't have to bang a mallet either. I mean, you know, it's just take him out. I've seen guards that weren't very big. You know, and big old macho guys, you know. And the guard, you know, as soon as they say, the boss says, "Take him out," they take him and lead him out. And then here's this little teeny guard taking somebody out. Why? Because they have the authority to do it. Now see, the man that feareth the Lord, he recognizes the Lord. He recognizes who God is. He recognizes God as the Creator. You know, some people, again, some of your Hollywood people and some of the rock star and all that bunch, you know. I'm really macho because I can call God names. If there really is a God, hit me with lightning. You know, and they'll say kind of dumb statements like, they have absolutely no clue. They have no respect for God. Now, they will someday. My Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and they all will someday. But you know, a real man, the man that feareth the Lord, he respects God. He knows that God controls his heartbeat. Amen. He knows that God controls his lungs. He knows that God controls the tilt of the earth to keep us from neither burning up nor freezing to death. God controls every bit of that. He knows that all those asteroids and meteors and everything else, he knows and he controls the path that they go, oh, one of these days we're going to get hit by an asteroid. Not till God. An asteroid is not going to hit us until God says, hit. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to have that kind of respect for the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You're one of these. Brother Dale was talking to me about a soul-winning experience yesterday. And somebody said, I know I'm going to go to hell. I know I'm going to burn in hell. And I don't care. No respect for what that really means. The man that feareth the Lord, he respects the Lord. He respects the Lord. And, Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That respect for the Lord, that's when wisdom really starts. That's how God's people make right decisions. We're not real smart, but with God's wisdom, we can make right decisions. We can make good decisions. But it all starts with that fear of the Lord. I've said this for many, many years. In reference to our Christian school, the fear of the Lord, first of all, it's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's why the Christians, that is our huge advantage. Are you listening? We have public school kids come here faithfully every Sunday, and they can have that same fear of the Lord. The unfortunate thing is it's not taught, and it's not preached, and so many don't have it. But that fear of the Lord, and many in our Christian school don't have it. That's where knowledge and wisdom all starts. You say, I want to be a nuclear physicist. I want to know. Okay, fear the Lord first. Fear the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, you get into science and you have no fear of the Lord, eventually you'll think you're an ape. Yeah, you really will. You'll think that, somehow you just protoplasm and everything all got together and bubbled around and everything and poof, people. You say, when you put it that way, it sounds kind of stupid. But when they put it their way, it sounds so good. Oh, that's because it's not starting with the fear of the Lord. You start with the fear of the Lord, a respect and an awe for God Almighty, and all of a sudden science starts to make sense. It really makes sense. Life even makes sense. When you start with the fear of the Lord, you have all these people trying to figure out why. Why? Why? They don't have an answer to why. If amoebas and all those kind of, if they just kind of started bubbling one day and we don't even know how it started to bubble and all that and it, boom, and there's man. Well, there is no answer to why. And so you go to work and you live your life and then you die and there's no, see, we know. Why? Because there's a respect for the Lord. That's the guy, the man. That's the fathers at Berean Baptist Church. That's what we need. That's what we need you to grow up to be. Somebody that'll say, I respect God. I respect God. Best degree in all the world you can get is a FTL degree, fear the Lord. That's the best degree you can get, just fear the Lord. Amen. Number one, the man that feareth the Lord, he respects the Lord. Number two, he reads the Bible. Amen. He reads the Bible. The Bible says here in verse 1, the second part, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. This the man that feareth the Lord, he's not all shook up about the economy right now. They'll give their percentages and they'll give their numbers and there's this many percentage are out of work now and unemployment is here and the cost of living is here and gas prices are here. But this guy, the man that feareth the Lord, he reads a paper and says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He reads a paper and says, God's in control of all that. He reads a paper, but he looks at his paycheck and says, my God's still supplying all my needs. Amen. But here's somebody that reads their Bible. And that's how these things don't shake him up. We need men to love the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about... The Bible says about him, he delighteth greatly in his commandments. Again, I think a lot of that comes from Psalm 111 and how powerful and mighty God is. But also it comes from, here's somebody that respects God. He respects him enough to read his Word. Are you listening? How can we say, you know what? I've got a good, healthy fear of the Lord, but I never read his Word. That is a contradiction. If you respect the Lord, you'll read his Word. Hey, this tells us how to live. This tells us what we're supposed to do next. This book, I mean, this gives us purpose to our life. Purpose to going into the factory every day. Purpose to going in to whatever kind of job you have every day. It gives you purpose. Reading the Bible. So I said, well, you Bible people, you're sissies. No, that's the real man. Do you know it's easy not to read the Bible? I have found that to be true. What do you think, Brother Hawkins? It's easy not to read the Bible, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to watch TV instead of reading your Bible, isn't it? Easy to watch the ball game instead of reading your Bible. Hello? Well, it's easy to go to the amusement park and not read your Bible. Oh, it's easy to go eat. It's always easy to eat and not read your Bible. But I'm going to tell you, the man that feareth the Lord, he reads his Bible. He gets out his Bible and he reads it. And the Bible says he delights in the commandments. That's what everybody's so upset about nowadays, those commandments. Well, we don't have any problem with the Bible. It's just, it's telling us what to do. We don't like that. But you know, the man that feareth the Lord, he understands that. God's the creator. God is, we're his workmanship. He ought to be able to tell us what to do, right? I mean, he ought to be able to tell us what to do and tell us where to go and what and how to do it and everything else about it. I mean, he is the creator, right? We don't like all that. I understand that. That's why there's so many Burger King churches out there. Have it your way. But you know, the man that feareth the Lord is a man that reads the Bible. Do you know, no one's ever been persecuted for not reading the Bible. But there's sure been a lot of Christians persecuted for reading the Bible. Yeah, it's a man that feareth the Lord. He loves it. He does it because he knows it helps him. And he listens to preaching and he listens to teaching. Amen. No matter what happens, He delights in the Word of God, and he can always go to the Word of God, no matter what the problem, no matter whether it's the tornadoes that come or other kind of problems or the economy or any of those kinds, because he always can find in the Bible an answer for what's going on, and we know that all things work together for good. It's kind of like yesterday, the power outage, you know, and it messed up my schedule. It messed up Tim's schedule. And many of your schedules. Some of you don't even have a clue. Power outage. We had power. But you know, it always goes back, though. God, there's a reason for this. There is a reason. And you've got it all figured out. Amen? Respects the Lord. Reads the Bible. The third thing. Verse 2. Here's another thing about the man that feareth the Lord. The Bible says, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Number 3, he reaps the blessings of the Lord. He reaps the blessings of the Lord. This is the guy that fears the Lord. You know, here's somebody, the Bible says, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. In other words, God's blessing. Do you believe in God's blessing or not? You know, one of the most fun things is our men's prayer time. We have praise time. And I'm telling you, some of you, it would help you so much just to come and hear some men give testimony of what God's doing. I think of our businessmen, and we have several builders, and read the paper. Building has ceased. You know, I mean, oh, it's over. These guys give testimony. I've never had so much work. Hello? I'm going to tell you, God blesses. His seed shall be mighty upon her. What's that talking about? Talking about his kids. Talking about his grandkids. Talking about God's hand of blessing. I mean, you should be a man that fears the Lord just for your family's sake. Amen. I mean, do our families need God's blessing in their lives? His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I mean, here's a guy, he lives right. And his family watches and they live right. And they're honest. And they pay their bills. Amen? And they clean their house. And they have character. Wow. And they keep their word. Yeah. Isn't that something? And they act like a Christian and they obey and they're law-abiding and they're loyal to their country. Yeah, that's this guy, the man that feareth the Lord. And so God says, I'm going to make his seed mighty. They are going to be, they're going to have good jobs. They're going to be taken care of. They're going to do well. Why? Because this man feared the Lord. Daddy feared the Lord. Grandpa feared the Lord. Great-grandpa feared the Lord. Amen. And God says, I'm going to bless that family. I'm going to take care of them. The family's blessed, but his finances are blessed. It says, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. The man that feareth the Lord doesn't wring his hands over the news about the economy. He doesn't get all bent out of shape because he got a layoff slip. What's he do? He gets on his knees and he says, God, you're in charge. You got it under control. Take care of our needs. Because God will, and God does. I was talking to somebody the other day, well, it was just yesterday, a good friend of mine, a preacher friend, and he's been without a pastorate now for 1 year. And he was telling me about an incident, and he said, you know, he said, preacher, he said, I need so much money for our house payment. And he said, I was counting on this to happen. And it didn't happen like he was counting on. And he said, and now he's telling me all this, and it was just really a weak moment for him. But he said, now on Monday my house payment's due, and I'm short on that house payment. And I said, it's interesting you're saying all that. And by the way, preachers really preach at each other a lot. That's good. And I said, it's really interesting you're saying all that. How many house payments have you missed in the last year? He said, I haven't missed any. I said, isn't that something? You haven't missed any house payments in the last year. And it's not any different than it was 6 months ago, right? And he said, oh, yeah, but God's always met our needs. I said, and today is what day? Well, it's Saturday. I said, and Monday is when? 2 days. I said, isn't it exciting what God's going to do tomorrow to meet that need? He said, I know that. Yeah. And we do. You know why? Because the man that feareth the Lord, he knows. God's got it all under control. I love this. It's so good. He reaps the blessings of the Lord. God takes care of him. Why? Because he's a man that fears the Lord. Amen? His prayers get answered. Why? Because he's a man that fears the Lord. That's another one of the, one of the fun things, isn't it, Dan? We come on Sunday night, testimonies, Wednesday night, we'll have a testimony time too. And I just love to hear how God answers prayers of his people who fear him. I don't fear anything. Yeah, and you're headed for a rocky road. You really are. It's just that respect for our God, that he's got it all under control. Good health. We kid around all the time about the word luck. Don't believe in it. I think it's ridiculous. When we play basketball, I coach our basketball team. Other teams say good luck, and I say, well, God bless you. I don't believe in luck. And if there was such a thing as luck, I certainly don't want the other team to have it. right? Doesn't, it never makes sense to me. Don't tell me good luck. You know, that's like saying, play better than us. You know, I hope you guys do better. That's ridiculous. The point is, you know what? There is no such thing as luck. Everything is in God's hands. He's got it under control. And the same with our family, the same with our finances. The man that feareth the Lord, he reaps the blessings of the Lord. And you know what it says? Blessed is that man. Blessed is always happy, joyful, rejoicing. That's available to you if you fear the Lord. That's available to that man. Number four, here's another thing he does. The Bible says that he reaches out to others. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. This guy, you know, one of the reasons why God blesses him is because he reaches out to other people. Read your Bible. You will see it over and over and over and over again how God blesses those that will reach out and help others who are less fortunate. Amen. And this guy, he's a man that fears the Lord. Well, he's not going to say to God, no, I'm not going to do that. No, he's going to have his heart open that if he has 10 bucks in his pocket and God says, give that to so-and-so, he's going to give it and he's not going to ask any questions. Isn't that good? Oh, we're so scared. We are so terrified of this thing and what's in it. You know, we want to hold on to it so much. Oh, I'm so nervous about this thing. Do we really believe in God or not? Now, we're not getting ready to take an offering. All right, don't worry. You know, some of you are grabbing it already. Hold on, you know. But the man that fears the Lord, he never has any trouble saying, God, what do you want me to give? He never has any trouble with that. Why? Because he knows God's going to provide it. He's not a slave to this. He's not a slave to the checkbook. He is a servant of God who has told God, whatever I have, God, it is yours. And if you need my $10, then here it is. I mean, testimony after testimony all over this room. Well, God laid on my heart to give so-and-so $10. That night, such-and-such gave me $20. Hear it all the time. You say, I think I'll try that. I'm not talking about you making it happen. I'm talking about God speaking to your heart about it. Boy, it's good stuff. The man that fears the Lord, he reaches out to other people. And I believe that's one of the reasons why he's blessed. He's unselfish. He has compassion. He helps poor people. The Bible talks here about him lending to people. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. Huh? You see, not me. I got burnt too many times. The man that fears the Lord is not worried about being burnt. He's worried about not obeying God. I've had people say so many times, hey, you have that bus ministry. Bus ministry is for the poor church. No, the bus ministry is for the poor loving church. Amen. That's right. That is what it is. And the man that fears the Lord, he's always ready to help folks. He's always ready to help send a teenager to camp. He's always ready to, you know, it's so good. He's verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth. He's that light in the darkness. Isn't that good? I love that. He's that light in the darkness. It has been such a blessing to be the guy that so many times somebody comes up and they say, preacher, here's some money. And would you give this to somebody that has a need? Preacher, we're collecting some money, just a group of fellas, first you give, and that's always a blessing. But preacher, we want you to give this to somebody who has a need. Oh, that's so good. You know what it is? It's light in the darkness. It's somebody who's living in darkness, and their life is a wreck, and they don't know what they're going to do. And to be able to be that light in the darkness. That's the man that fears the Lord. Amen. But he has no problem doing it because God's done it for him so many times. That $25 at the Bill Rice Ranch, Brenda and I had just surrendered to be in the ministry, and we were on our way to go to Bible college, and on our way we stopped at the Bill Rice Ranch, and our teens from our church in Indiana were going for the week, and there we were, and we were leaders, and we had, I think we might have $35 in our checking account to go down to Bible college and get started. And we're driving down, and maybe we had a little more. I'm not sure how much cash we had. We didn't have much. And I met a guy there at the Bill Rice Ranch, and this guy was going to college, going to a Bible college, and he said, you know, I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time. And he said, will you pray that I have enough money? And instantly, just like that, God said, give him $25. I'll never forget telling Brent, and again, we're just a young couple. We're new. We're pretty new as Christians. And I said, you know, God has laid on my heart to give this guy $25. She took out the checkbook. She wrote out the check, and we gave that guy $25. I mean, it was almost all we had left. How many times has God given us double, triple, quadruple that amount of money? Miraculously. Good night. I think of just the sack of groceries on the doorstep was worth more than $25. And it had Chips Ahoy cookies in it. Somebody says, you know, seems like it'd be awful boring to be in Christianity and everything. It seems to me like it'd be boring not to be. I have so much fun. But reaching out to others is one of the ways. Then, number five, this man that feareth the Lord, it says that he relies on God. He just totally relies on God. Verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Isn't that what we're getting a lot of now? Huh? Oh, boy, I'll tell you, evil tidings. The news, newspaper, news report, Fox News, CNN, all of it. Evil tidings. This guy, though, he's not afraid. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. This guy is, you know, he picks up the paper in the morning and sees murder and rape and government scandal and conspiracies and cancer and AIDS and pornography and all these things that are attacking, and he sees, and he's not afraid of all that because he's relying on God. He relies on God to take care of everything. This man that feareth the Lord, he believes John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, he's not afraid of death because death is to enter into your mansion. Now, he's not out there looking to die, but he's not afraid of it either. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And where does it start? It all starts with fear in the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. He relies on God. Obviously, this person's saved. He's born again. But he's and he loves the Word of God, and he's reading the Word of God, and he's excited. I mean, when you trust the Lord with your soul, it's not that hard to trust Him with your life. His heart is fixed, the Bible says. What's that mean? That means no matter what, I'm going to trust the Lord. That's Job's heart. Job's heart was fixed so he could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I mean, Job says, if God kills me, I'm going to just keep trusting him. Doesn't matter what happens, I trust him. That means, you know, if communism takes over, if Islam takes over. You say, oh, they love peace. They love peace among themselves and death to us. That's how peace is going to come about. You say, it's not popular. I never try to be popular. That is the truth. If North Korea gets nuclear weapons that can reach here, what a joy. Who's going to stop them? I don't know anybody around that might, but you know what? It's okay. God has it under control. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Scary, isn't it? If there's a drought, if there's a flood, if there's a tornado, if we're in jail, this guy, he relies on God no matter what. Trusts the Lord. The man that feareth the Lord, he trusts the Lord. In verse 8, it says his heart is established. Verse 7, it's fixed. Verse 8, it's established. You know, with God, there are no accidents. It's okay. And it is. He relies on God. And then the last thing. Number one, he respects the Lord. Number two, he reads the Bible. Number three, he reaps the blessings of the Lord. Number four, he reaches out to others. Number five, he relies on God. And number six, he receives persecution. And why is that? Notice verse 10. The wicked shall see it. See what? Well, they're going to see that his horn shall be exalted with honor. They're going to see that God's answering his prayers. They're going to see that his seed is mighty in the earth. They're going to see that God is blessing him. They're going to see that he's rejoicing. They're going to actually see this guy praising the Lord when the economy's bad. They're going to see this guy singing songs, maybe even Christmas songs this week. For what? Well, for Vacation Bible School. Well, what about crime? What about all the problems out there? What? How can he rejoice? How can he praise the Lord? Yeah, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. You know why? Because they don't have it. That's why. That's why they're grieved. Because they don't have it. People watch you at work and they think, what's he so excited about? We just found out we're going to get laid off. What's he so excited about? Doesn't he understand the economy? Doesn't he understand the unemployment rate? Doesn't he understand that all his retirement's going to be gone? Doesn't he know he's going to lose health care? You know, health care is not as big a deal when you know the great physician. Which is better, to have money to pay for your bad health or to have good health? Amen. I'm not... just pushing aside all these things, saying they're not important. I'm just saying the wicked see this peace, this honor, this blessing of God, and they're grieved. It bothers them. That guy's at peace with all this stuff. Well, he obviously is a nut. Huh? I had somebody, just about every year at Shepherd's Bible School, somebody said, you know, I kind of feel bad for them. And I look at him and say, why? Why? Well, you feel bad for the shepherds. Well, because why? They're having a good time. Do you understand the shepherd? I mean, they shout and get excited, and they're not looking around to see who's looking at them. Steve, we're going to get that devil. And you kind of, I would never. I like that. Yeah, right? They're singing Christmas songs and not looking around to see if everybody's singing or not.
Well, this pastor must be a nut.
Pastor's having a good time. And I'm going to be honest, the guy that fears the Lord, he has a good time too. And with that is going to be persecution because people don't understand. They just don't understand. They look at you and they say, well, that guy doesn't tell dirty jokes. What's his problem? He doesn't cuss with us. He doesn't go drinking with us. He doesn't smoke with us. He doesn't watch wicked shows. I mean, what is wrong with it? I tried to give him one of my dirty videos the other day, and he said, I don't want it. He must be a nut.
Well, we'll show him. We'll tell people that they're the terrorists in our nation.
Yeah. We're the terrorists. Isn't that something? That is the next thing. I don't know if it's the next thing, but it's coming. It's already here. There are many trying to push that off. But you know what? This guy that doesn't do all these things and doesn't listen to wicked things and doesn't drink and take drugs and doesn't smoke, well, you got to smoke marijuana. Didn't you know that? I've heard that recently too. Well, you have to smoke marijuana just to get by. I can legally smoke marijuana now because I have glaucoma. Thinking about growing some. I can legally do that now. Well, not federally, but statewide.
I don't know what that means, because isn't our state in the federal? Anyway, but I'm not going to try it. How's that sound? But I'll tell you, you know, they say all these, well, they don't do this, they don't do that. And you know what? This guy that fears the Lord, he doesn't have to see a shrink either. He doesn't have to pop pills to make it either. Right? Yeah. He's doing okay. Yeah. He's doing okay. But you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the man that fears the Lord, he is all light. He stands out like a bright light in a dark world. And his God controls it all. Now, a real man that fears the Lord, though they may hate him, he loves them. And he prays for them. You know, the devil came to Paul, and I'm sure many, many times he said, I'll persecute you. And Paul said, you know, I rejoice in persecution. Paul was really a pain to the devil. Huh? I rejoice in persecution, Paul said. He said, I'll put you in jail. And Paul said, well, I'll just pray the walls down then. Amen. And I'll win the jailer to Christ. Well, I'll kill you. And Paul said, well, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the man that fears the Lord. He's the guy that, you know, the devil is so frustrated, and he's got every kind of enemy against him that he possibly can. What do you do with a guy like that? I'll persecute you. I rejoice in persecution. I'll put you in jail. I'm going to pray the jail down and win the jailer to Christ. I'll kill you. Well, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the guy that fears the Lord. The man that feareth the Lord. Are you that kind of man? Are you that kind of person? You know, do you see yourself in this passage of Scripture? I hope you do. And if not, I hope that you will. It all starts with Psalm 111. How do you see God? Is he God? Is he the mighty God? Is he the powerful God? Is he the God that can do anything? If he is, then you should be a person that fears the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please.